The Senate Armed Services Committee voted yesterday to overhaul the military's compensation system, shifting it slightly away from a defined benefit structure. The committee would also add a government-matched investment plan similar to a 401k. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, the vote puts both the House and the Senate on the same page, but the White House is still studying the issue.
The Senate committee approved the retirement changes as part of its version of the annual defense authorization bill. The vote came just 2 weeks after the committee's House counterpart approved very similar legislation, both of which are based on the recommendations a Blue Ribbon panel released earlier this year, after 2 years of study. Under the plan, the military's existing pension system would be cut back so that, for example, a service member who retires after 20 years of service would get 40% of his or her base pay in retirement compared to 50% today. In exchange, the government would begin making 1% contributions to military members' thrift savings plan accounts, and to encourage them to invest their own money, would make matching contributions up to 5% of their base pay. Arizona Senator John McCain is the committee's chairman.
Today, 83% of service members leave the service with no retirement benefits. Under the new plan, 75% of service members would get benefits. This reform is estimated to save $15 billion per year in the out years. And by the way, it will only apply to new members of the military. It would be prospective, not retroactive.
Describing this year's Senate defense authorization bill as a whole, McCain called it a reform bill that tackles not just military retirement, but acquisition reform, DOD's personnel system, and Pentagon management. But details of the broader bill were not immediately available because the Senate, unlike the House, conducts its annual markup behind closed doors. But McCain says the committee voted to require DOD to also make significant cuts to its headquarters spending, 30% over the next 4 years, starting with a 7.5% reduction in staff that the Pentagon and the military services would have to accomplish by next year.
We ensure that the Department of Defense and the military services are using precious defense dollars to fulfill their missions and defend the nation, not to expand bloated staffs. These reductions generate $1.7 billion in savings just for fiscal year 2016. With these savings and billions more identified throughout the bill, we investigate crucial military capabilities for our warfighters. We accelerate the shipbuilding for Virginia-class submarines, destroyers and amphibious assault ships, and other Navy programs. We address strike fighter capacity shortfalls by fully restoring the A-10, adding F-35s and F-18s, and upgrading our F-15s. We invest in modernization across the services and meet our commander's most urgent priorities.
McCain has pursued the headquarters staffing issue aggressively since he became chairman of the committee earlier this year, including by chastising the Air Force for what he said was a disingenuous approach to DOD's earlier directives to trim headquarters spending by 20%. McCain claimed the Air Force cuts were a shell game that simply moved positions and money from headquarters organizations to other commands. While it's unknown how controversial the measure was during the full committee's closed deliberations, at least one member, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, expressed serious misgivings about ordering the department to slice its management functions by arbitrary percentages.
These cuts would take effect by next year and certainly have a negative effect on our defense community, including in Virginia. Secretary Carter has worked since 2013 to implement a long-term strategy that would reduce overhead at headquarters without causing large-scale layoffs or cuts to vital programs. What headquarters means is either abrupt layoffs to DOD personnel or more likely cuts to programs, because headquarters includes programs such as funeral honors for service members and veterans, suicide prevention, sexual assault prevention, audit support as we're trying to get audited financial statements from the DAD, the acquisition workforce as we're trying to form acquisition processes at the DAD. These are all areas where we've worked hard, and there are ongoing reforms in this mark that we're trying to promote moving forward at the same time as we may cut the staff to do it.
On acquisition reform, McCain said the bill the committee approved would reinsert the military's uniformed service chiefs into the acquisition process, another cause he has championed since becoming committee chairman. But he provided very few other details of what the reform would entail, other than to say he wanted the chiefs to be more accountable for the military hardware their services are producing.
That means the service chiefs will be directly responsible for the acquisition process and any possible cost overruns that are associated. When there's a cost overrun, on a weapons system, they have to certify in writing that they are aware of it and that they are acting to resolve it in one way or another. I guess it was 2 years ago when I asked the Chief of Naval Operations if he knew who was responsible for a $2.4 billion cost overrun on the Gerald Ford, and he said he didn't know. We created new mechanisms to ensure accountability for results, streamlined regulation, and open up the defense acquisition process to our nation's innovators.
Overall, the bill would spend $613 billion on defense in 2016, far above the $499 billion cap required by the Budget Control Act. As one mechanism for adding funds to defense, the committee turned to the Pentagon's Overseas Contingency Operations account, originally meant to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Obama administration proposed $51 billion in that account for 2016, but the Senate bill would use it for $90 billion of DoD spending. McCain was fairly open about the fact that the committee was using the OCO account to sidestep sequestration, since OCO funds are exempt from the budget caps.
It's a very generous interpretation of OCO. I think it's about as generous as I can think of in the English language.
But that interpretation, along with decisions in the House to cut domestic agencies' budgets in order to keep the government below the overall BCA caps, led Democrats to threaten to vote against the NDAA as the full House began debate on their version of the bill on Thursday. The White House has also signaled that it would veto a defense authorization bill that plusses up Pentagon spending without undoing sequestration for other agencies. Adam Smith is the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee.
As bridges collapse, roads fall apart, and story after story is written about how our infrastructure is absolutely falling apart, all those other bills are being cut. And they are trying to pass a set of appropriations bills that will continue those devastating cuts in all the 11 other areas of spending and plus up defense, something that many Democrats, the president and others have said, we will not do that. We will not let defense out from under the budget caps and keep everything else under it. That point has been absolutely clear. And the hope, I guess, is that somehow between now and October, the president will change his mind. I can't see that happening. We need to pass the NDAA. But what I'm saying is we are not going to pass the NDAA if we don't address that larger budget issue.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.